The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show. Yes. Finally, it is arrived. We'll walk you into the weekend where the NBA series first round starts. Sixers and Raptors. 6 p.m. tomorrow, Wells Fargo Center. And your final analyses of the series have to happen today. Today, live and recorded forever, I need to get everybody on the record on what's going to happen here. Whatever ambivalence or nervousness or angst you have, I want to purge it out of you today. Because I do believe the Sixers win this series. There are a lot of, I don't call them naysayers, but I think people look at the, they try to be the contentious, let me give you the other side of it, so they can try to look smart. And one of them is this guy, John Hollinger, who we've talked about before, and he's the one who was keeping these polls about with the voters on the Embiid and Jokic situation. So I just sense a precursor, read what he has to say, his analysis of this series. He says, I wrote about the Raptors earlier this week. Sleep on them at your peril because they are dangerous as hell. They beat Philadelphia twice in late season matchups and won 3 of 4 games this season. Means nothing. The history of number 4 versus number 5 also isn't great for Philly, despite having home court advantage. The number 4 seed only wins about half. Totally irrelevant. Like a totally irrelevant stat that means nothing to this particular series with this particular group of players. Though the Raptors are incredibly interesting for round ball nerds, I suspect the focus in this series will be on the Sixers, especially if they don't win. As if this series against Toronto hasn't brought this franchise enough pain, a fallout defeat here could be wrenching. And he goes on to pick the Raptors in 6. Now, that's fine. You know, whatever these silly little national dudes want to do, that's fine by me. But here's the way I look at it. You know, we've been sitting here, we fret all week. Well, what are we going to get from Tobias? Can Maxi be ready for the moment? Is he going to be a consistent Maxi who puts pressure on their defense? And what about Danny Green? Can he fulfill the minute? All that stuff we've talked about, and it's been overwrought, really. Because the bottom line is, the Sixers had the 2 best players in the series. They have the 2 best players in the series. And with the 2 best players in this series, one a really dominant player, the other capable of being a dominant player, this Toronto team isn't strong enough to beat them. They're just not. I hate it too that Thibault can't play. I hate it that Danny Green's going to have to stretch out his minutes and maybe he's not capable of doing that. But as long as I got the 2 best players in the series, I'm feeling comfortable about it. And not only that, this week has been a pretty interesting bonding week for the Sixers. They've worked hard on these flaws that they have. And Harden himself said, hey, he must have taken 1 million shots this week. Hopefully his arms aren't tired, but those 1 million shots have really sharpened the way he is releasing the ball right now, especially from 3. One of the interesting parts when you analyze this is that the stats say he's not a bad catch-and-shoot shooter. He just doesn't do it. The stats say that his percentage is pretty good catch-and-shoot. I got to think that Doc Rivers has been working constantly on catch-and-shoot type of jumpers for James Harden. And with the ganging that Toronto will do, and we expect it, and he's going to gang from different areas, this Nick Nurse. He's crafty like that. And B's got to be smart enough to get an open man. And whether it's Tobias, who's got to shoot the 3, or more likely James Harden, catch and shoot 3, to me the whole series wraps around it. I know what I'm going to get from Embiid. I hope I can get better Harden, but I got to rely on the other 2 best players on the roster. So I'm good. So screw John Hollinger.
Well, yeah. I mean, John Hollinger,
it's kind of 6. Come on.
It kind of all falls in line. Embiid's not MVP. Embiid's now not NBA first team either. He's second team, all NBA, to people like him, Zach Lowe, etc. And then also the Sixers are going to lose. At some point, it does look like hate. Because across the board, some of this negativity, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you don't think Embiid is, I'm saying it's linked because if you follow what these guys write, it's a thread where they make an initial statement And then everything that they write has to then go with the initial statement. So the initial statement is, Embiid's not that great. Well, then that means the other rest of the players aren't that great. And then that means the team isn't that good. And they just follow that trend. They don't watch enough to know what they're talking about. They don't know. Now, the one fear I have that you didn't mention was the Nick Nurse versus Doc Rivers thing. Now,
yeah,
Rivers
I tried to avoid it.
Well, Rivers had a full week, but so did Nick Nurse.
Yeah, he did.
Now, the difference is, though, Doc has better players, as you mentioned. Only thing that needs to happen is for Doc to make sure he puts his best players in a position to succeed, and I believe that he will. And then, as Embiid is double and triple and quadruple teamed at times, because that's what they're going to do, they're going to swarm him, other guys have to make wide-open looks. And I believe that in 4 out of 7 games, the Sixers will make enough wide-open looks, and they will be wide-open. Mm-hmm. Even in the games they lost to the Raptors, they get wide open looks. There's been rebounding issues, turnover issues, but quality of shots, they've been able to get great shots against that team. I think they continue to win the series. And now the suspenseful part's going to be, if the Hawks win tonight, the Heat are in for a fight, because that Trae Young in the playoffs is a problem.
Yeah, he is. And I looked at the Raptors, they don't have a Trae Young.
No.
They got nice players.
Siakam's really good.
Siakam's a very good player. Van Vliet's coming to this series not 100%. And so Maxey's going to probably guard him. And Maxey, I think, has enough. He's not a great defensive player. But I think against Van Vliet, that's not 100%. I think he can hold his own with his quickness. At least I'm hoping that that's going to happen. But see, the Embiid Harden, the dynamic has got to be money for the Sixers. And, you know, when Joel, he's got some options here. Because it just doesn't instantly happen that they gang. There's a couple seconds got to go by before they gang at double and triple. So he's got three. Beat it quick by getting it back before it gets there. Quick decision, power, get fouled. Or wait for it and then hit that little fadeaway, that little jump shot that he never misses. Or you want to wait for everything? Somebody's open. Catch and shoot jumpers. So, and listen, everybody knows it. It comes down to whether Harden can be the second best player in the series. I look on paper, he is. And now I got to see it. And, the mystery of whether he's holding back, whether he was coasting the regular season, we are about to see. Don't think that he's not feeling the pressure. I know we talk about this where some people were upset that he didn't give an answer that, yeah, wow, there's a lot of pressure on me. And I go, what? Of course he knows. Hey, of course he knows what people say. He said it about himself. So he doesn't have to admit that there's pressure on him. He just has to admit no weaknesses. He has to admit that, yeah, okay, in my mind I know there's pressure, but I'm James Harden. And I'm going to beat it because I'm James Harden. Nobody else on the floor has my resume. So here we go. Jen Scordo.
Hi.
Hello, Jen.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
6 o'clock. I can't wait for basketball to start again.
I know.
Feels like
I'm so
forever.
Excited.
Been without it.
And, you know, I've been a little shakier than the two of you all week, but I find myself here on this Friday very calm, very cool and collected. I am ready to roll into tomorrow, and I think it's going to be great. It's going to be an awesome weekend.
All right. And, yeah. Doc, listen, transition defense starts with good rebounding.
Yes.
Don't turn it over.
Yes.
And improve your transition team. Be wary of it, because that's the only way that Toronto is going to stay in this series. Their half-court offense, not great. All right. We good?
Yeah.
All right. Good. We're all good?
We're good.
Ready to go?
We're good.
This is it. This is the last, your final analyses today, live on the air on a Friday. Mike Messinelli Show, 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. Let's get it rocking. We'll be back after this.
The Mike Messinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, it is the 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show. Of course, Brian Westbrook will join us at 4, like he does every Friday. The 2 o'clock hour, brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Your equipment, parts, and supplies for your heating and cooling jobs can be had at Ferguson's County locations. They're in Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. Easy stop in and grab your equipment. All right, the Twitter poll. It's brought to us by, powered by Paul B. Moore & Sons in Doylestown, PA. If you got power equipment that you're ready to take out and do some work with, make sure it's in good working condition. You can get that with maintenance at poweredbymoyer.com. Jen Scordo, today's Twitter poll.
All right, we have two today. This is our last check-in. What will be the results of the Sixers-Raptors series? Sixers in 4 and 5, Raptors in 4 or 5, Sixers in 6 or 7, Raptors in 6 or 7. Early votes here have Sixers in 6 or 7 winning at 52%. And will James Harden play like a star versus the Raptors? You can answer yes or no. Again, early votes, 66% say yes.
All righty, thank you very much. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Phillies lost last night, and it's their third straight loss, and they are now 3-4. Let me just read this email from a guy, because it makes me laugh. This guy's been emailing me for years now. I don't know his name, but this guy is the biggest sky is falling dude ever. So he writes me this morning. And he says, you can put Barry Bonds, Willie Mays, and Babe Ruth in their prime on this Phillies team, and they would forget how to swing a bat. It must be the uniform that causes guys that have an over 300 average on other teams to come to Philadelphia and struggle to score. It doesn't matter how the Phillies organization spends money, because whoever they get underperforms. The Sixers draft two guys in the top three who can't shoot a basketball, and Wentz goes from MVP to a has-been. Seems like Philadelphia brings out the worst in athletes. Oh, well, another year the Phillies failing to make the playoffs. Dude, it's 7 games. Would you relax?
It's pathetic, actually. Jen says all. I more say, like, something far worse. I don't want to get fired.
What is wrong with people?
This is what I'm saying. Like, these people go too crazy. It's only 7 games.
It's 7 games, and it's baseball.
They didn't have a regular spring training, so everybody had less at-bats than they normally get, and things just happen in baseball. They got 11 hits yesterday. Now, they didn't string the hits together.
Gabriel Miller got 4 of them.
Right, he got 4 of them, yeah. And then the center fielder got 0. So
he's still an 0 for the center fielder.
They're
being held hostage because they don't have another alternative there for the time being.
Yeah, well, and soon they'll have 2 in another, 4 weeks or so.
And then he's going to go back down to the minor leagues. Yeah. It's a shame because Vierling, like, he came up with nothing to lose last year, right?
Right. So
he
just loose and free.
Right, he just hit. Now with the pressure on him as a starter, sometimes guys aren't major league. Well, I don't know if he's major league quality or not, but sometimes guys that aren't major league quality let that really take him out of the yard. You know?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's still early for him, too. But for people to act this way already.
It's early.
I mean, I got people.
Oh, man, it's 7 games.
I have that, and then I'm getting a guy telling me Camargo is Mike Schmidt.
What?
Oh, yeah. He's going to hit every game. Just keep hating. I go, first of all, I don't even know a Camargo to hate Camargo. I'm saying that I don't know. Sooner or later, you have to see if your future guy, the guy who's cursing out the fans, that guy who cursed the other day, he has to play third base again because you have to figure out if he can. Because if he can't, you then have to trade him.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of time, though,
Yeah.
Like they have, I don't know what to say about it. They lost to the Marlins. Alcantara pitches well against them. He did last night. They're somehow an underdog tonight. I think the Phillies will bounce back tonight.
I agree with you.
Now,
Schwarber's out of whack. He's out of whack. Started late. He's out of whack.
Right. He'll find it.
Not in a groove. Harper's a little out of whack. Castellanos is, he's hanging in there. Reese was an 0 for last night. Camargo is this year's freaking Torres to Joe Girardi.
Yes. He always finds a guy to
find a spot for him anywhere.
Yeah, he's already played first. He's playing third. Meanwhile, Bohm can't get a start at first. But Camargo can. Because I don't know. He just likes him.
All right. Well, in any event, 610-632-0975 is probably the last we'll talk about the Phillies today. It lets people feel like my emailer. Like, it's season's over already. You're not going to make the playoffs. 7 games.
155 games left.
I go, dude, are you serious? Hey, seriously? You sent me this email?
Yeah, I want to be friends with him.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Curious, I didn't know what to anticipate this Friday, but this first hour, I don't know.
Sort of the 5 o'clock hour?
I'm going to try to be optimistic that the rest of the show really bangs hard.
I think it will. I believe in the people.
Me too.
I believe in these people. These are the best fans in the world.
That's right.
They're just off to a bad start.
I gotta go, it's the lack of activity this week.
I don't think the lack of activity.
Maybe.
Yeah, we've been lulled into. We need activity. Like, first game, we'll have reaction, and then that'll enliven everybody. This week has been tough.
Right, but that's not going to improve the quality.
Well, maybe the people that are the quality are just they're not yet, the moment has not arrived for them yet. The moment will only arrive at 6 p.m. tomorrow.
And it is a holiday. It's Good Friday. Maybe everybody's traveling today. The traffic getting here today was awful.
Horrible.
So maybe people are traveling for their Easter plans, listening, not being able to.
You know what? We got to do something with that river.
What do you mean?
You got to do something.
You want to divert it like Yellowstone?
We're going to have to do something.
Like, what do you want to do with the river?
We got to add another lane of traffic.
On the
circle? So if I could drive through the river. Yep, through the river. Because this is getting ridiculous.
Today was really bad.
It's bad too often. And the whole city's under construction.
Oh, yeah.
The roads and the buildings. Every inch of this joint is under construction. Enough. We got to do something with this river. Have a ferry that you drive your car onto, and you ride down the river and let you off on the other end. We got to do something else with
the river.
It'll
just let you off at City Avenue.
We got to do something, because this ain't it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring up roads and stuff and traffic. The Blue Route
can be awful.
And a buddy of mine told me why, because he was in on the litigation.
Oh.
You know, the Blue Route was fought in court many years by residents.
Okay.
The Blue Route, like, it took 15 years to get the Blue Route, like, cleared to build.
Okay.
And I need somebody in Marple to verify this. Yeah, apparently, Marple Township argued vehemently against three lanes.
Ah.
Because they wanted to protect their little community with three, you know, they didn't want to.
Sure, yeah.
So they had to narrow it in that area, throw it through Marple to two lanes.
Is that
which
why?
Which always causes a bottleneck.
Yes, it does.
Of course it does.
Now,
go three to two, back to three.
What they didn't realize was that the Blue Route being there took the traffic away from their own streets.
Yep.
So after the fact, they go, Okay. We agree to the third lane. And for spite, PennDOT says, no, we're not going to put the three lane in there. You fought it. You took his litigation a whole bit.
That's the
story I heard. I need verification from some Marple people on this.
I know, because there's some people who'll be having to use that road tomorrow to get to the Sixers.
Right. I was on it last night.
Yeah, see?
It can be terrible.
I didn't even realize it, but if you look at it, there's only two lanes, but it's wide enough.
Right. It's wide enough for the three.
Yeah, it never really dawned on me. Like, I didn't think that, like, okay, it's two lanes. Like, it didn't even dawn on me why there would be two lanes.
Yep, and John Kincaid from the morning show.
Is he verifying that? Yep,
blocked it for decades.
Yeah,
not bad.
It took forever to get the Blue Route built.
And they're still the oldest dry town in America.
Marble.
And they, yes, and they said in the 70s that they would bring it would bring drinking and carousing to Blue Mall.
Yes, that's what they were afraid of the Blue Route, afraid of Praga, and it was in court for years.
That's unbelievable.
What year? What years was this?
Well, the Blue Route was
80s.
What? When did the Blue Route
definitely before
open?
My time here.
The 90s when it opened?
Yes.
Late 90s.
The litigation was
opened.
All through the 80s, I remember.
How about that?
Yeah, they fought it for years because that was very important. Road. I remember pre-Blue Route.
It was going to be the revelation.
Yeah. I remember talking about it on the news. As a kid even. Talking about watching the news, but they're talking about the Blue Route and how great it's going to be.
You
won't have to drive all the way around.
15 years in litigation until they made these concessions. And then after the fact, they said, we can do the three lanes. And they go, yeah, really? And we just spent $1 million in court, and
you
all want us now to do it?
Nope.
All right. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
To 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 4 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. 4 o'clock hour, Friday. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. And they also bring us our regular Friday guest. He, of course, is the great number 36, Brian Westbrook, joining us. Hello, B. West.
Good afternoon, Mikey Miss. How you doing, my friend?
Doing okay. How about you?
You know, what do you mean, okay? This is the most exciting time in sports in Philadelphia. Well, let's say in basketball in Philadelphia, most exciting time. It's also very exciting for me because the kids are in spring break, and that means I'm on spring break, so I'm happy about that as well.
Oh, nice. So the kids are in spring break, and what do you do during spring break with the kids?
Well, usually we would go away somewhere, but we wanted to kind of be, you know, a lot of kids that come down to Maryland, see the grandparents, they'll play around on the horses. I'll be able to see the baby horses that we've had over the last couple of weeks. And so we'll be here just in Maryland, just hanging out.
Ah, nice. And you just had a foal, correct?
Yeah, we did. We just had a little baby girl, a little filly. And so we're excited about her. And, you know, when you have these horses, because they're show animals, they're performance horses, there's always a hope that they'll go on and be the next great thing in our sport. And so we're excited about that, excited every time we have a
day. And last I checked, you were looking for a name.
Yeah, still looking for a name. You know, I haven't put very much time into it because when you name somebody or name a foal, a baby horse, you want to understand their personality. And I haven't been around her enough to understand her personality quite yet. And so once we're around her a little bit more, I'll be able to come up with a name.
Oh, that's nice. It was a cute picture, by the way, with the little horse and the mom. That's good stuff. All right, you're right. It is an exciting time. And the exciting time, like, we've had to, like, linger all week and wait for this series to arrive. And finally, tomorrow night, it will arrive. And there will be, like, various opinions on this series. But I think the city is slanted more towards this being comfortable with the Sixers winning this series, whether it takes six or seven games at this particular point. What's your call right out of the chute?
Well, I told you last week, I hate the matchup. You know, I think it's not a great matchup for the Sixers. But at some point, I got to believe that the better players will show up, that the better players in this type of situation will come to play and they'll win because of that. And I do believe that Embiid, MVP, that Harden will show up, that Tobias Harris has figured things out just a little bit. And I think the Sixers have the better basketball team. So because of that, in the long run, whether it's six games, whether they have to go to seven, I think the better team actually wins. And in my mind, the better team is the Sixers.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, we were saying earlier in the show, they've got the two best players in the series.
No doubt about it. They do have the two best players. And, you know, when you have the two best players, and a lot of people have said that same thing about the Nets, you know, when you go into a series with the Nets, for the most part, you're going to have the two best players in the series. And of course, but for us, for the Sixers, I really believe that. I really believe that you will have the two best players in this series. And I think there'll be a great opportunity for us defensively to shut down one of their best players, who is Van Fleet. And if we put Thibodeau on them, at least for the games that we have here in Philadelphia, I think we have a great chance.
All right. Sounds good. I like it. All right. Now let's go inside this series here. And here's the big question. Will we get the better Harden? And I'm curious to know how you feel about whether he is like playoff Harden will be different than regular season Harden.
I've been thinking about this a whole bunch. And a big part of me over the last, you know, couple weeks of basketball, we haven't seen a great James Harden. A big part of me believes that James has been trying to figure out if there's a different style, if this is a different way. And really, at that point, the shots just haven't been going down. I compare what I believe will happen this year to what we've seen with Harden in the past. In the past, we've seen James Harden obviously struggle in the playoffs, but he was the man in all of those playoffs for the most part. He was the guy that had to get 33, 35 points every single game for those teams to have a chance. Here, he doesn't need to do that. Now, of course, we need him to score points. We understand that. But he doesn't have to get 35 every night. That means Embiid has to get his 35, 40 every night. Harden has to get you 27, 28, which takes pressure off of him. Then you have Maxey and Tobias Harris, and then other guys around him have to play well, you know, also. But the pressure of being the guy, that's not the point that he's at this point in his career for the 76ers. Embiid is the guy. So I do believe that we will get a different James Harden than we've seen in the past, especially when we talk about the playoffs. I hope that we get a different guy, because we're going to need him to win and he really knock down some shots. And so at this point, I think we get a different James Harden. I think he knocks down some shots, especially in these first couple games of this series.
Is a 20 to 22 point Harden good enough for the Sixers to win this series?
We don't want that Harden. We need a 27, 28.
Okay, so you're saying Harden. It's got to be upper 20s.
Yeah,
because they're the two best players. Okay, that's that
he
thing.
He has to be the higher 20, but I will say this, Mike. Let's say he's a 22-point Harden. That means Tobias has to get off every game. That means Maxey has to get off every game, right? So if there's going to be that type of Harden, we have to get play from Maxey that I think, from my perspective, I don't expect to get from him every single game in the playoffs. But if Maxey goes out and gets you 18 to 20 points every single game, Tobias does the same thing, then we may not need the Harden that gets us 30 points a game. Maybe 22, 23 points is enough, especially if Embiid is playing at the all-star level, the MVP level that he's been playing for the entire season.
See, here's the thing. The way that Toronto is going to play Embiid, and they've been consistently double and tripling him, the catch-and-shoot three-pointer or jump shot in general has to be key for Harden, and he really had been reluctant to take that. So I think all this week they've really worked hard on that, and he's got to let it fly.
Yeah, he has to shoot the shot, and the worst-case scenario, he misses and provides a rebound opportunity. I would love to see, especially when you got, you know, defenses trying to collapse on Embiid, guys cutting to the basket. Get some easy layups, and I think that's going to open up things where you have the defense sink a little bit deeper in, and now Harden may get a little bit more time to get that shot off and those jump shots and those mid-range jumpers and those three-pointers as well. And so it's a combination of things. Tobias Harris has to play better. Maxey has to play better. And I think if those guys play the game that I believe that they have the capability of playing, James Harden would get a little bit more open, and he will play better because of that.
All right. I don't even want to go down this road with Ben Simmons, but I have to, because it's annoying me, all this fake adoration that's coming through the social media about how excited everybody is for him to come back into the series. And, oh, my God, he's going to complete this team and this and that. And meanwhile, it was game one and game two, and now it's game four and all this stuff. I'm just curious to know what your opinion of this whole thing is, because I heard Kendrick Perkins today say he should be out for the rest of the series. This is a total distraction to the Nets.
I don't know that it's a distraction. I think when you talk about Kyrie and KD, they don't care. They're machines. It's about scoring points for them, right? And, you know, when I watch that Net team, I don't know exactly where Ben fits in at. He's not going to bring the ball up the court because that's what Kyrie does, fast break, transition. So he's not doing that. KD kind of does the same type of thing. Where does Ben fit in, and what value does he bring? A defensive player, we can see where he brings value there. Offensively, there's no value. He doesn't help them at all. And so I actually think he makes the court smaller, shrinks things down for them offensively because he's not a shooter. He's not a guy that's going to get you buckets on the offensive end. So you taking a scorer out to put Ben in, especially on the offensive side, it makes things harder for Kyrie and Kevin Durant. And I listened to you guys a little bit earlier, and I think it was Ty that said this. It just doesn't make sense that a guy that hasn't played since, what, it was April, whatever it was, when he played.
Last June.
That's going to come in a playoff series and then they contribute right away. Right. Where he struggled the last time he played. That just doesn't
matter. Yeah, exactly. And that's why I want you to hear what Kendrick Perkins said. I'll try. Let me see if I can get it. All right, here we go.
Look, this is becoming a distraction, okay? You're in the most crucial part of the season. You have to get ready to go against a hell of a squad in the Boston Celtics, and you're worrying about if Ben Simmons is going to return or not. He hasn't played since last June. What do people not realize with that? You don't just walk into the game of basketball at his highest level and expect this man to come out and be some type of savior or come out and think this man is going to come out and play at some type of elite level. Like, the fact that Steve Nash has to answer that question is beyond disturbing at this point. You are 2 or 3 days away from game one. You should be worried about how you're going to defend Jason Tatum, how you're going to defend Jaylen Brown, how you're going to get KD and Kyrie open if a double team comes, things of that nature. Is Bruce Brown going to be in the short row, et cetera, et cetera. You should not have to be answering questions about a guy that hasn't played since last June. And if I'm the head coach, I would say, you know what? At what point can we really bring Ben Simmons back? Let's just shut him down for the playoffs. Because for the simple fact, we could talk about him ramping it up, but it's no 5-on-5 unless you're playing against the coaches and a few other guys that are not playing at the end of the bench, because you can't practice in the postseason. Guys don't practice in the postseason. Shut him down for the rest of the season.
Oh, there it is.
Whoa, it is.
He made a lot of sense.
He made an awful lot of sense. I just had this epiphany, though. So let's say he does and has the ability to come back in game six, hopefully 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. Let's use 4 or 5 for this example. I think it's a really tough matchup for the Nets, quite honestly. I think there's athletic ability on that Celtics that I don't know that the Nets quite have. And they've been playing really, really well lately. But let's say they're talking about coming back in game 4. Potentially, they may have trouble guarding Tatum and Brown. Maybe that's the only reason that you would even consider bringing Ben Simmons back. That's the only reason that you would think about it, because if they go out and they don't play well, talking about the Nets in game 1 and 2, and Brown and Tatum just go off, now you have to actually consider bringing Ben Simmons back. So, I mean, as I rethink this whole thing, we're not bringing them back for offense. We have two stars. You're talking about KD as well as Kyrie Irving. You know, the only reason you bring him back is for defensive purposes against those two guys. So maybe that's the thinking of Steve Nash or those guys up there in Brooklyn. The only reason you bring them back.
Yeah, well, I'm perturbed that Nets fans aren't perturbed, because I mean, he perturbs me in general. You know, and so you get that Brooklyn vibe up there. Well, these people think that they're misguided. They think a miracle is going to happen with this guy.
I don't think that they're misguided in the sense. I don't think they actually care. They're saying, we have KD, we have Kyrie. If Ben comes back, that's a bonus. I believe that that's what the people in Brooklyn are thinking. And quite honestly, that's the only way you can think, because you're not getting offense from him. He has to just be another guy that plays on the defensive side when you look at what he's able to do on the court.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't even care about them. They're going to be out anyway. The Celtics are going to beat them. We'll have to worry about the Nets. We'll have to worry about him. One game in a regular season doesn't mean anything. Now, you're stringing together a series where you're going to have to adjust to their adjustments. And to me, if you can rely on the two best players in the series, they can take you home.
Yeah, but they got to show up.
Well, you know, Embiid's going to show up. Embiid's going to average 40 in this series.
Yeah.
Right? I'm looking for Harden to give me 25 a night. 25 double-digit assists. I'm good. 25
is good. That's a good number.
Yep.
I mean, you can get them 25. That's going to be able to create enough opportunities for other people. You're talking about Tobias Harris. You're talking about Maxie. Mm-hmm. That's going to be just enough.
Yeah, the 25 has to include at least three threes for me as well.
That opens the floor up.
Yeah, he needs to make three. He can't, like, he can't 2-for-9 me from three.
No. Do you think that Embiid, I mean, there's a big part of me that believes that Joel Embiid can will them to victory in this series. I think we've been moving up and building up to the moment where Joel Embiid controls things in the series. And obviously fell short a little bit last year, last couple of years fell short. But I feel like this is the year where everything makes sense for Embiid, that he's able to control things much better in this series, which, again, and that opens things up for everybody on that team, especially Harden. Do you feel that way?
I absolutely feel that way. Listen, he's going to go to the line probably 15 times a game, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, that's 13 points. I believe, like, they can't contend with him. And he's going to get fouled when they gang, and he's got to be savvy enough to kick it to open shooters who have to make shots. It's really simple, but when you have the two best players and you have a dominant player like Embiid, the other team's catching up, not the Sixers, you know?
Yeah, they're going to run a couple guys at him. There's a part of me that wants Embiid, and I know that everyone's talking about you pass out the double teams and things like that. He's just so skilled a scorer. There are times where I'm like, listen, yeah, they're going to bring two at you, but you're better than both of those guys. Go score a couple buckets.
Well, yeah, either you go quick to the basket and get fouled, or you turn away and that little fade away that he shoots, which is money. Yeah, I see that he's gone 35 to 40 every game in this series.
No doubt. They will absolutely be an Easter egg hunt at my house, and the kids they want an Easter egg hunt every day during spring break. There will not be a $50 or $100 bill at all in my house, period. I'm talking about in wallets and purses and anything. There's no money left in this house. We bought too much candy for the Easter egg hunt.
You're not going to slide like a dollar bill in one of those eggs with a couple of those chocolate eggs?
No. We have so many toys for my nieces and nephews and my kids in this doggone house. If they want money, they need to go sell these doggone toys. That's what they need to be doing. Thinking about selling these toys on Amazon or something. This is ridiculous.
Oh, wow. Well.
What are the Phillies missing? I mean, already. I mean, people are...
They're not missing anything. They're not missing anything in seven games. We're crying out loud, they'll start hitting the big hitters haven't started to hit yet. They're not missing anything.
You got some time.
Yeah, I mean, the 3-pointer. I can't look at a wart after seven games. You know, we know where they're short. They're short in center field, but if those guys at the top of the order are raking, you know, that covers up a lot of things. They're just not raking at this point.
You know. Getting upset in the baseball season after seven games is as if giving up on the football season after one series. Like, oh no, they drove to the 40 and stalled and had to punt. It's seven games. Yeah, it's like one series. Brian only got 4 yards on that 3rd and 5. Cut him. Season over. Like, what are we doing?
Absolutely right.
Yeah, it's like, what is like 25% of the season? Like, what's left, 75%?
The morning show did it. I literally think it's 4% of the season so far.
4% of the season.
Wow. 4.3% of the season. There's over 95% of the season left, and we've decided, some have, it's over.
For some reason, people don't think that baseball is hard to hit. You know, it's like really hard to hit. But yes. So that's why you bought hitters. And all of a sudden, like, the hitters that you bought aren't going to forget how to hit. It's just a matter of time.
Yes. You know we're not talking about this today. The NHLPA has finally released their results from the independent review from that Kyle Beach sexual harassment / assault case. They released it at after 4 o'clock on a Friday.
Well, yeah, well, that's, you know, so they can hide
There's
it.
There's a reason for that.
Yep, yeah, they buried it. And they go... Basically, they're saying that Beach's warnings about Aldridge were not addressed on account of miscommunication and misunderstanding rather than any individual or systemic failure. So the system fails and they go, oh, it wasn't the system. And they do it after 4 o'clock. They did this at 4:18 on a Friday. Tell that to the guy who was assaulted by his coach that this, and that told people and then didn't get any justice that the system didn't fail. I know it's not a main thing, but I just think that's sickening by the NHLPA. Sickening.
You protect the system, so you protect your own job. That's how that generally works.
Yeah, I just couldn't imagine that you happen to athlete, and now this is going to discourage other people to come forward because it'll be another miscommunication.
That's a shame.
Mm-hmm. 610-632-0975 is one line that is open. Very busy today. Now we're very busy at the shaky 2 o'clock hour. We have Brian Westbrook until 5. The Mike Missanelli Show continues after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.